Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
We're live.
We're live.
And happy Halloween to those watching this live on Friday when it releases. It's not Halloween today, but
I was going to say, would it be weird if I did a moo?
I mean, it's weird, but not for you. It's very Ashley-like.
It is. Happy Halloween.
I was like, Emily's like, are you guys going to dress up? And I was like, girl, no.
Well, that would be kind of cool if we did dress up and have, you know, like a witch hat or something for me. But I don't have any costume stuff, so.
Nah.
I mean, I have a onesie.
I got a cape. That's about it. I've had this cape for like 20 years.
I have a onesie that's so fitting. No drama llama.
See? There you go. You could have been super comfy.
Exactly. I might be asleep, though. That thing is so warm.
I know. And the sun's going down right now. I'm about ready to go to sleep, but.
It is Halloween. We have to record. We got this. Yes.
It's Halloween, and I don't know that we could have got more lucky. We release episodes on Fridays every other week, and it could have been an off week. It could have been that. No, this releases on Friday, October 31st, 2025. I'm so excited.
And we have all things spooky and scary.
If you're watching this on Halloween. Episode. Then after Halloween, you'd be reading the books. But you know what? It's really just a fun time to go, they like these books. Maybe I'll pick them up. It's still fall vibes. I'll read horror books all year long.
Yeah, I think everyone knows that you'll read a horror book all year long.
Yeah. There are times where, like, it's really hard for me to get into a horror. Like, I'm not, that 2 weeks around Christmas, I'm not going to read a horror book mostly. I don't know. I might have. I don't know.
Well, they might have, like, a spooky Christmas story. I mean, I feel like somebody could do that, right?
There is a movie called Black Christmas, which is set around Christmas, and it's a slasher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
I feel like somebody would have to write a book.
I'm going
to
look it
Christmas
up.
Christmas and horror together. We have to look. I mean, not that
slashers
I would read
lend
it,
themselves
but
to it, but like paranormal stuff. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to find one. We're going to find one. That's our mission next.
Now you're on a mission to find it.
Yeah. But we're going to talk about different types of monsters and books about monsters and horror. And we've got little categories. And, you know, I was just going through it going, well, I'm the horror expert. I guess I need to put together the list. Mm-hmm. And then Ashley is our resident non-spookiest. So, though there are a couple books on here that fall into the spooky-ish category that I'm really proud
they're
of.
They're my spooky. They're my spooky.
I mean, you'll see. I think there's a couple on here that people are going to be like, girl, those are scary.
They're not Caleb scary. Caleb scary is like, turn on all the lights and open the doors and the window.
I mean, yes, that is what I like.
Yeah, no, you won't get those kind of books from me, guys. Nope.
Though we're going to start with an escalation of the category that has the most overlap. I think we both have three books apiece in this. Now, I could have gone on and on and on, but I kept it down to ones. And I want to be clear. I'm not saying these are the best books in each category. I'm saying these are books that come to mind when I think of these categories or recent books I've read or books that don't get enough hype, though I'm going to start with a book that has more hype than anything. But we'll jump right on in. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So we're going to start with ghost stories and haunted houses. It's the classic. Like, as long as we've been
you
telling stories.
You better not cut these out either.
I'm not cutting them out. Every mwahaha will be in there. Since we've been telling stories, since we've been a people, we tell cautionary tales. And those usually come with a spooky kind of connotations so that we teach our people not to go places we don't want them to and, kids to not play with dangerous things. And that's the origin of ghost stories. They were just tales of caution. And I think because they're the longest, oldest kind of horror story, they take a more methodical turn. You really have to get in there and do good characters, do good settings, and really focus on that. So I think some of these ghost stories are going to be classics to a lot of people because, I mean, everybody loves a ghost story. Even people who don't love horror love a ghost story. You got three on here, so I'm going to say yes.
With the exception of like two of them being historical fiction. Oops, did I say that too fast?
Yeah, that's true. You do have that going for you. But mine is technically not historical fiction because when it was written, it was in the times. But mine is The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. And I know you probably haven't seen it, but the rest of the world has watched the most incredible movie adaptation on Netflix ever, which is The Haunting of Hill House.
Is that the one? Okay, so I'm going to have to pause. Is that the one with the like the Haunting of Bly House and
Bly Manor,
all of those? Okay, yeah, I watched that one. I watched that.
That's so good. The adaptation was really, really, really well done, though. Mm-hmm. It's obviously been modernized. That's not the original mm-hmm. story, but the core of the story is. And so, I mean, Mike Flanagan just absolutely killed it with those films. We have Hill House, Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, and they were all 10 out of 10. Though I'd say Bly Manor might have been like a 9 out of 10, but also really, really okay. good. It had the little girl who played Peppa Pig as the main character, and I couldn't unhear Peppa Pig the whole time. So that was a problem.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That little girl did the voice for Peppa Pig, and she talks real proper. So every time I'm just like, close my eyes, and I just see Peppa Pig running around with a ghost.
I'm going to have to watch it again just because.
It will ruin it.
Now I want to make the connection between the two.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you a clip. But Hill House, obviously, for people who do not know, it was four people. They go to Hill House. They each have their own reasoning for being there. Really strange, horrifying things begin to happen. And I like Hill House because I love a sentient house, a sentient ship, a sentient anything. And Hill House is alive. It's not, you know, it's not Casita from, you know, Encanto, but it's definitely has a presence. It has a soul to it, and it's wicked, and it's gaining power. And by the end of the story, somebody will be taken. And that just presence and evil inside that book and that story are so eerie. Like, it's like, you know, when you watch a horror movie and they're starting to play that music and it's making you more mm-hmm. and more tense. That's the whole book. And like I said, Mike did a really good job with the adaptation, but the book mm-hmm. really has a different kind of, it hits with a different punch. So for people who did check it out and loved it, you got to check out the book.
I couldn't read the book. I definitely don't think that I could actually read the book. Watching the movie is different, but to sit and like the amount of time that it takes to read a book, I wouldn't be able to sit with it that long.
Really? You think are you that mm-hmm. susceptible to written tension?
I don't think I would want to be in that situation.
Fair.
Because think about it. If it takes me, especially like a bigger book, I usually read a book over like 2 to 3 days, depending on what life is like. But usually 2 to 3 days for a book for me. I wouldn't want to be in a tense, eerie, like, I don't know. It's not like climate. I don't want to say climate, but I wouldn't want to be in that for 3 days.
For the record,
but if I could watch a movie
really
for an hour and a half, how short is short? Is it like Caleb's audiobook short?
It's like, I think it's around 200 pages in most editions.
Okay. Well, see, that would still probably take me 2 days to read, though.
That's fair.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it.
It splits up. It really builds at the second. So if you like go through the first day and you're just like getting through the first half, but you got to finish that second half all at one swing because it hit.
Nope. It can just glide right on past.
Well, for everybody else that's normal, you got to check it out.
Well, see, I want to go back and like watch The Haunting of Hill House, The Bly Manor and all of those because I know somehow they're like intertwined or something, but they weren't like, I think the Netflix ones were not that spooky. So I was able to actually watch those.
I don't know how you say that because
they felt more thriller-like. If I'm thinking of the right ones.
Hill House is definitely a horror. I don't think you watched Hill House. I just don't think you do. There is.
I don't know.
There's a tall ghost that's walking. Feet aren't on the ground. You get to see the feet. There's a jump scare out of the back seat of a car. I mean, I jumped.
Don't tell the whole story.
These are just little things. The whole movie is like that. Well, it's a series. It's a limited series. I don't think you watched it. I'm Bly Manor, I think you probably did, but I don't know if you watched Hill House.
I did do Bly Manor. I'm going to have to see. We'll have to check my watch history and see if I saw it.
Check it out, yeah.
But I know Bly Manor. I did see that one.
And it was good, too, but it's just not Hill House.
I'm going to have to check it out.
All right. I scared everybody. I got to let you calm everybody down.
My book's not going to calm anybody down.
I actually haven't read it yet, still.
You have to read this one.
I do want to get to
it. I think this is like the third or fourth time I've told you that you have to read this book. But this was one of my 6-star reads. Yeah, this was one of my 6-star reads for sure. This was The Reformatory by Tanner Redu. And it is a historical fiction about a school, more like jail, in Florida. It's for young boys who, it's kind of like what we would refer to now as like a juvenile detention home, essentially. But this story is about a young boy named Robbie who steps up for his sister and actually gets sentenced to 6 months. Well, Robbie has this gift, okay? So his gift, he can see spirits. So while he's there, he's like trying to figure out, are these real kids? Are these fake kids? You know, so that's like the premise, and that's why I put it here under the ghost story. But of course, with it being during the Jim Crow era, with the segregation and all of the tension and things that took place, it is a magnificent story. It is a masterpiece, definitely 6 stars. I recommend this for anyone who is definitely able to read it. It is a heavier read, but I promise that the payoff in the book is not going to like, oh my gosh, everybody's dead. You know, it's not like that. It is definitely an amazing story. And Tanner Redu did absolutely amazing writing this book. And it makes me want to read some of her other work. But I heard more of her other work is more on the horror side of things. So I'm like, I don't know. But this one, definitely amazing. I think everybody should read this one.
Okay. I say it all the time. I will eventually get to it. Oh, it's one of those things where if I go, oh man, what should I read? What should I read? And then it comes up at that point, it'll hook me, and then I'll get into it. It is long. It is for sure long. It's like a 450, 500 page book.
But it doesn't feel like it. I promise you, like, it's really hard when you can sit and say, I remember the details of this book. And I read this book last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really long time since I read it. But when I tell you, I remember details. I can tell you timeline of what happened in the book and who the different characters are. Like me just sitting here writing the list, I remembered his name was Robbie. Yeah. That's how it really sticks with you. It is a great story. When it's time for you to read it, you'll love it. I know you will.
I'll get to it. Promises. Before I'm dead, some point.
You'll get there.
But yeah, my turn again, everybody. And I'm amping it up this time because Richard Matheson is an author who many people don't recognize off the bat, but everybody saw I Am Legend, the movie. Yes, Richard Matheson is the author of I Am Legend, which is considered a vampire story because they are kind of vampiric. Most people will recognize that name. They don't recognize this book, which is called Hell House. They think, you know, Richard Matheson's a one-hit wonder, but he's definitely not. And he is a master in the horror genre. So highly recommend anything written by this author. This one is Ghost Hunters, long before Ghost Hunters were a thing. So this book was set back in the 60s, 70s, and it follows four strangers who are going to this infamous Belasco Mansion where two previous investigations have gone because it has this hellish reputation where they think there's a portal to hell there. And previous investigations have left people dead, suicide, murder, people disappeared and never were seen from again. People come out babbling insane. It's crazy. And you go through it and you get these different governmental conspiracies with, you know, drugs and LSD. And then you have these rituals that are happening. And it's definitely overtly sexual. There's a lot of sexual violence, especially to women. At the time it was written, that's very par for the course, but it is icky. There are a lot of trigger warnings in this. But I really think after the last 50 years that we've been obsessed with ghost hunters and things like that. This book really holds up with the kind of tension and claustrophobic feel. You start to question whether what you're seeing is real or whether it's the people that are going through it going insane. By the end of it, with this kind of ambiguous ending, which is pretty normal for Ghost Hunter movies and things like that, where you kind of question, is this how they're going to end? And then you're just kind of left like, and you just want more. You want another story. You want to know more about the mansion. You want to know more about this. And it ends so well. So I definitely think if you liked the book by Craig DeLuey called Episode 13, which is about the 13th episode of a Ghost Hunter show, and they encounter this same kind of creepy building where there's this history of disappearances and deaths and things like that. If you liked that one, which I enjoyed it okay, it wasn't great, but I would recommend Hell House to people looking for that. Look at your face.
Yeah, no. I will, though. I do have a confession. I used to watch Ghost Hunters. I used to love watching Ghost Hunters growing up. I would stay up and like watch the Ghost Hunter shows because they felt, you know, kind of like spooky and like, are they really real? And like the, what's the other ones? The Paranormal Activity and stuff. So
those movies?
Yeah, the movie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, those were creepy.
Yeah, I used to watch stuff like that. But now, no. A lady found okay. I don't do that stuff.
See? Oh my gosh.
I'm not that bad at all. But no, I would
you give me too much. You give me too much trouble for saying I'm the spooky one. And then you watch stuff like that. Paranormal Activity scared the heck out of me.
I want to say I watched all of them. I feel like I watched all of them. And remember like the Blair Witch Project?
Yeah. Like when those were coming out, I was so young. I thought those were real. They scared the crap out of me.
I know. That's why I'm like, that's so great. And here I am loved going those. On tangents. Sorry.
Yeah. Look at you. You over here talking about like spooky things. Apparently you do.
Man, this is fun. All right. So I have one that you actually recommended to me. And it's called This Cursed House. Have I read it yet? No.
That's okay.
But it is by Del Sandin. And you could probably talk about it more, but I'm going to try my hand at this one. But this one is a Southern Gothic horror. It's giving historical, you know, vibes, which is all me, of course. But it is about a young woman who abandons her life in 1960 Chicago for a position with a mysterious family in New Orleans, only to discover the dark truth. They're actually under a curse. Even more interesting that I found just by reading the synopsis is that the family is fair-skinned, so they could actually pass for being white. And they actually look down on Gemma, which I believe is the main character. Okay, so they actually look down on Gemma. Gemma is going through, you know, trying to figure out about this curse, and she actually finds that it stretches over a century long, and it's deeper than what she actually thought. So it is a book that I'm going to read. I'm actually going to look here after today to see if, you know, because I'm more interested now. I'm going to see if I can find the audio for it and listen to it this week, being that it's finally leading up to Halloween and everything. So this one I'm going to try and mark off for October, but it does sound good.
I gave it 3 stars. I liked it.
Okay.
It does have, you know, kind of a paranormal aspect, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of commentary on race and the social commentary on like being passing versus mm-hmm. dark skinned people. Like there's racism within racism. There's, you know, there within mm-hmm. the races that normally wouldn't be so segregated, but this was a really interesting take. I would recommend for people who like Jordan Peele style horror, where it's like thought provoking. You have to think about it a little bit. It's not overtly scary, so I don't think it'll freak you out. But I think you're going to love it. I recommended it to you because it was historical, 1950s, and mm-hmm. I know how you do.
Mm-hmm. I definitely love my historical fiction, and I did actually just get it on Libby, so I will be listening to this starting tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Before Halloween, yes.
Yes, before Halloween, leading up to it.
So my last book is going to be, like I said, most of the ghost stories and haunted houses, they're pretty much classics. I think these are probably the oldest books that I'm going to have on my recommendations list the rest of this time. But this one is a classic written by Peter Straub called Ghost Story. And this book took me forever to finish because when I say methodical, this man doesn't mention a single thing on a piece of paper that doesn't need to be remembered to be included later. It is a small piece of a puzzle, and everything about this storytelling was so good. It's a revenge story. And can you guess how many people it's going to involve? Four. For four aging men in a terror-stricken town called Millbourne, New York, they basically did a terrible act all these years ago, and it's coming back to haunt them. They're going to learn what happens to those who believe they can bury the past and get away with murder. It is good because it blends cosmic horror like we get with like H.P. Lovecraft and some of the greats, but then you also have like a culturally significant revenge story. And it is the only Peter Straub I've ever read because it took me forever to get through it. But by the end of it, I did give this 5 stars. I think my previous books, Hell House, I think I gave 3.5 or 4. And The Haunting of Hill House, I think I gave 4 stars. But this one is a earned 5 star, mostly because the writing is a little dense. He is a master in, you know, storytelling, but his writing is high. And so that prose took me a long time to get through. The audiobook, I want to say, is like 28 hours long. It's long.
Wow.
It's a thick book. But if you can get through a long, slower book, I'd say if you're a fan who likes the way that Stephen Graham Jones, who is going to come up here soon, the way he writes, especially like The Only Good Indians, which is actually going to be my honorable mention in this category, there's this cultural aspect to it. There's this tension that builds the whole time. There's this atmosphere about everything. And that's where the chills kind of come in. There's an air of mystery. You're not going to get all your answers. A lot of them are ambiguous. That's the kind of horror you like. This is definitely for you.
Not for me.
Not for Ashley, but for you.
It doesn't sound bad, though, but a little probably too spooky for me. But I do like the fact of how you said it's kind of like a puzzle. I do definitely like a book where it's got different pieces and parts and how they all come together in the end, or just like that mind-blowing like moment that happens or a reveal in a book. I definitely like when that happens, but spooky-wise, no, I'm good.
There's like some dark magic to it. Like there's just a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll live through that moment with you.
Thank you.
All right. The next one we have is The September House. I have not read this book, but I have heard a lot of good things about it. It is by Carissa Orlando, and it's that true haunted house kind of thing. This woman is determined to stay in her dream home even after it becomes a haunted nightmare. It is layered, it's twisty, but it's apparently an easy read from what I'm seeing. But Margaret and her husband, Hal, bought this large Victorian house on Hawthorne Street. It's got to be on Hawthorne Street, right? For sale at a reasonably price. And they just couldn't believe it, and they had to have the home. They discovered the hauntings, and every September, the walls drip blood. So, I don't know.
It fits. It fits the category to a T. I didn't love the book.
Thank you for helping. That's why I said thank you for helping.
I will say that a lot of people enjoyed this book, really enjoyed this book, because it has some good haunted house classic imagery, bleeding walls, and hauntings, sounds, and slamming doors, all that fun stuff. It's like one of those roller coasters that you just can't get the pacing right on, and it ruined the book for me. So I gave it 2 stars.
Well, I mean, your 2 stars is probably maybe somebody else's 3 or 4. So it
what,
may not
what
be
I found to be like that stop go might be the right pace for somebody who doesn't want something super scary but wants to wants to be unsettled a little bit. So
like to break it up.
I still recommend it to people who are looking for like a good spooky read. It has the imagery and it has the characters. There's not a whole lot of them. I like it. It does everything okay.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I wanted to read it last month, but I never got to it.
You're trying to read September House in September?
Yep. I am that person.
I don't think that book actually came out in September, if I'm going to be honest. I think it came out a different
probably
month,
in the
like
summer.
June. I think it was the summer. And oh, no, it did. It came out September 5th. I lie.
Oh, it did. All right. Well, there we go.
It's got a good cover, that's for sure.
It gives you that eerie vibes. I feel like it was a book of the month book, wasn't it?
It was. That's how I have
it. Okay. I didn't get it, but I remember seeing it when I was thinking about signing up for book of the month. And I was like, oh, that looks like a good one. So I had, like went to Libby and looked it up and stuff. But I didn't actually end up reading it.
Well, let me know if you do.
We'll see. It has walls that drip blood. I don't know about that. All right. The next one I have, we actually both read this one. And this was a 5-star reading for me. Hidden Pictures by Jason Rakulik. I say that right? Jason Rakulik? All right. Awesome. And it actually has a pretty good rating on Goodreads as well. But this one is a classic horror story. It's a supernatural thriller about a woman working as a nanny for a young boy with strange and disturbing secrets. We all love, you know, that spooky kind of tale about the odd child and, you know, the activities and things that are going on. But I definitely enjoyed Hidden Pictures. It had those spooky moments for me, but it wasn't one of those like, oh my goodness, Caleb Reed, you know, it wasn't like that. But I will definitely say I enjoyed it. I did.
It had a lot of pacing for sure. It was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, like got my heart pumping, and that's really what earned my 5 stars, because it's not an overly like surprising. There's a couple mm-hmm. twists that got me for sure, but in terms of mm-hmm. like the horror thriller aspect to it, not that impressive. The writing was impressive for a debut author. This was mm-hmm. his first book.
Oh, this was.
I loved it. Okay. Yeah, first book, and we know how his second book went. So he got it right the first time, and he should have stuck with it, because I did not like that second book.
Yeah, you struggle with that one. You're like, oh my God, this is not for me.
I crap on that book every time.
This one was definitely fun. I did enjoy Hidden Pictures, and I will recommend this book for anyone that does not like the super scary stuff to pick up Hidden Pictures, because it does give you that eerie kind of feeling, but it's suspenseful. It's got some really, really good twists in it. And I feel like this is one of like the talk books going on currently. You know, because it's getting all the buzz and everybody's talking about it. So Hidden Pictures, definitely a good must read.
I think that that's a good way to round out the ghost stories, haunted house section. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit there for everybody. There's some slower books that really don't have the chills and thrills. But then there's other ones that if you want to sit down, turn off all the lights, sit there with your flashlight and freak yourself out, I got you.
I mean, they do make book lights now. You don't need a flashlight anymore. It just clips onto your book. And
it's more fun where you got to like, and then you got to put it down for a second, turn the page, and not freak yourself out. Yeah. I miss
those
days.
Do you do that now?
If I could stay up past 9:30, I certainly would.
I mean, it does get dark at like 7 o'clock, so.
It's dark right now. Yeah. Now we're ready to talk about vampires. Who doesn't love vampires? They're so, you don't like vampires? Not in anything? No movies? You didn't like vampire movies? I love vampire movies.
Vampires was just one I never really cared too much for, I guess. But I will say the books that I have, however, would make you think otherwise that I like vampires. But no, I guess I'm more of like witches, maybe.
That's fair.
Like the spells we'll get and there. Stuff. I feel more, I think I'm more the witchy. Kind of spooky.
If I was going to pick one, I'd say that, no, I think I'm probably more witchy too, but mm-hmm. vampires is really up there, and really just because their stories usually span a long time, or they're slower. They have like the seductive aspect to them. There's a lot of pairing with like certainly sex, and there's stories about like what makes somebody a monster. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about these vampire stories. So I'm going to start off with one that I recently finished that I've already talked about many, many times. So I'm not going to go in depth on it, but it is Buffalo Hunter Hunter by Stephen okay. Graham Jones. And I think it might be my second favorite vampire novel of all time, with a caveat. Number one, the first part of the main story of the vampire portion of it is my favorite part. There's a like an area at the end that I think he should have just never put in, that I drug my score down, my rating down. Didn't love it. But in terms of like the actual vampire story, he pairs, you know, Native American culture so well. It's set in the early 1900s, but spans across the last 80 years of that. And he is such a good writer for building this really slow atmosphere. And so definitely that. But I will give you the brief synopsis. Essentially follows Goodstab. He's a Blackfeet Indian, and he was turned, obviously, during a time during all the wars of the early 1800s. And he goes on to then become somebody who is essentially the protector of the land. But his people shun him because he's a monster. And obviously everybody else shuns him because he's killing everybody. But it's told in like a interview with the vampire kind of story where he goes and talks to a priest in this little town and he's doing his confession over weeks and over weeks. But bodies end up turning up over these weeks of time and there's investigators and there's all this stuff. And the story starts to really build. And then at its crescendo, it just unleashes on it. And it's so good. I loved it so, so much. So it, like in terms of vampire stories, this is a more, I'm not going to say traditional style of vampire. It's much more violent. You know, it doesn't focus on the sweet sexual parts of vampire stories. This one's pretty violent.
Yeah, it sounds creepy. I don't know.
This is the picture I'm going to take to use as the thumbnail for our intro video because your face just slowly gets more and more disgusted as I talk.
Well, that's why we switched to, video, because I make all kinds of faces. And yeah, my face definitely tells it all. And that's not a book that I would pick up. But, you know, if that's your vibe, go right ahead.
Why not? You like historical fiction.
Nope. Mm-mm.
This is everybody's just watching this for her to go, nope, not reading that, nope.
Well, you know, I have to keep it, you know, at least the good thing is that everybody who's listening to us knows that this is really me. Like, this is truly me. I'm not
very
pretending
consistent
to be anybody else or anything, but that's definitely not a book that I would read. No, thank you.
That's fine. They're for me and my peoples. Team Caleb.
Yeah, that's Team Caleb. But I have a Team Ashley book, I think. So this one, I feel like I talk about this one every single episode. It is by Mortal Dark. It's actually a trilogy that I just discovered. And the first book is out, Immortal Dark. It came out last year. I actually have the book sitting right here next to me. It came out last year and I did start reading it and I got mostly through it, but I did not finish. So I do plan on picking that back up to prepare for book two that actually comes out on November 4th, I believe is what we talked about last episode. And it's called Eternal Ruin. For anyone that is just popping onto this episode, again, I have talked about it several times, but this book is actually Black vampires. I feel like I haven't mentioned that before. And I feel like I should, because I feel like this book is very unique. Usually, you know, it doesn't pop up, you know, it's something that's new and unique in its space. But when Kadan's sister disappears, she dives into the deadly world of Uxley University. So it's a dark academia as well, where vampires rule and secrets cut deep. To save her family, Kadan must confront the dark power tied to her bloodline and decide if she's meant to fight monsters or actually become one. And I will tell you that this book is action-packed. It definitely has that suspense and that mystery of what happened to her sister. It ends with a really huge cliffhanger. And from my understanding, book two picks up exactly where it left off. And usually that doesn't happen when it reads different books. You know, the second book might kind of have its own type of vibe. And then you start to go, no, it's actually like book closed, book open with what happened. So I'm really excited for that. And I'm even interested to know that, you know, there's a third book as well. So I'm all for it.
Awesome. Yeah, I know you talk about it a lot, but I think it is, you mentioned, you know, Black vampires. Obviously, there's some Black vampire movies and stories out there. You know, The Queen of the Damned starring Aaliyah was a Black vampiress, and we've got Blade, and we've got, you know, you can even do like
Blade.
Vampire in Brooklyn. Like, you have these other things, but not in the fiction space, not in the book space.
Yeah.
There are some, but I can't say that any of them like jump off. I looked at a list and I'm like, I they're definitely not popular. They're not things that I see circulated. They're not hitting TikTok. They're not doing those things. So this is definitely one that got the hype and I think is well deserved.
Awesome. I am definitely excited to read it. I do have actually the book, the arc for book two, which is why I want to read Immortal Dark again, or more so finish the last 40% of it, because I definitely want to read the arc and talk more about it, you know, maybe one of our upcoming episodes or even just in one of our side chats. But I'm really interested in reading book two to see if it lived up to its hype.
That's awesome. My next one is going to kind of, it kind of goes in the same vein. It's more of a classic mm-hmm. vampire story. And when I say more of a, it's the original story, Dracula. It's actually about Dracula's first wife, Constanata. And it's called A Dowry of Blood. And it's by S.T. Gibson. This was one that everyone hyped up. And I just took forever to get to it. The covers were kind of not calling to me. You have one that's kind of like a old feudal time kind of drawing kind of cover, illustrated cover. And then you have one where it's just like a red stripe. Most of the thing is black. None of the covers really jumped at me. So I never really picked it up. When I did, when I tell you, this is my favorite vampire novel of all time. It is so beautifully written. I don't think I've ever read a book that's more beautifully written than this book. It is. And that's what Dracula should be. It's a very dark, seductive novel. And which is what made it kind of so provocative when it came out all those years ago. And so it is a classic tale, but this one is written, it spans more time. It spans hundreds of years following Constanata, Dracula, and other people that, you know, obviously they're non-monogamous, or I want to say non-monogamous. They're very free and open with their relationships between vampires. So it is very highly sexual. It's very evocative, but it's really... Also, it shows the evolution, which I think happens a lot with vampire stories, where you start out kind of monstrous, and then it's like, now I'm just doing things to survive because this is the kind of thing I am. This is what I need to do to survive. So the monstrous aspect of it never goes away, but like your perspective of them as they mature and they change over hundreds of years, and the relationships that they have come and go, the mistakes they make, all those things, was really well done for this really short book. So obviously, if you like Dracula and stories like that that are much more classic, this is the book for you. Now, there is a sequel. Just don't touch the sequel. Don't touch it.
I was waiting on it.
Awful. It is awful, and it sullies the name and the beauty of this. It's called An Education in Malice, in case anybody is intrigued. It just isn't. It's not a true sequel, supposedly. Like, you don't really find out that it's even going to be kind of a sequel until the very end. And you're just like, I wish you hadn't done that, because if this was just a different, separate book, I could have thrown it in the trash. But this book lives up to all the hype. 6-star read. It is beautiful, well-written. Pick it up.
That's so funny. You said, don't do it. It was awful. That sounds like something I would say.
And then, like, I haven't found another book by this author that I've enjoyed. I picked up that secondary series, which was kind of YA. Hated that. Book 2's out for that right now. Don't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because they have cool covers.
Well, you can always just buy it for yourself. And
no, I don't want to be associated with the series. That's how bad I hated it.
Gosh. All right. Well, you had a classic vampire story, and my next book is giving similar vibes, actually, with, you know, how you describe your book. And we both read this one. It was actually one of our book club reads, one of our highly anticipated book club reads, where we're like, you know what? We're not even voting. It is going to be the book club book, right?
Everybody wanted it.
Yes, everybody did. But it is Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil by V.E. Schwab. This book, masterpiece, I will say, masterpiece. It is a sapphic vampire story. It's a story about immortality and hunger. We meet three different women, Maria, Charlotte, and Alice. It's a love story. It's a search for freedom, power, rage. It's about life and how it ends and how it begins. And again, masterpiece. I enjoyed this one more than Addie LaRue.
You've never said that before.
I know, I haven't. But as I was sitting here, I was writing, I was like, you know what? Think about it. I enjoyed this one more than Addie LaRue.
And wow.
Yeah, I know you did not like this one.
Not even close.
I definitely enjoyed it. It was also one of my first like sapphic novels as well. That's a newer space for me. So it was very interesting in just how she weaves everything together. And I said, there's no point of even just like summarizing this whole book. I said, make it taggy. Someone's going to read it. Someone's going to love it. It is on Book Talk. It is buzzy. It is buzzworthy. And I think it's definitely an awesome read, and it fits perfect for our vampire category.
It does. You're never going to get me to say that it's not incredibly beautifully written.
Oh, it
I
was
love
wonderful.
Schwab's writing. She is so good. It just was too long. Just too long.
I thought it was perfect. I mean, I will say like maybe one or two could have been left out, like one or two scenes or so. But just the way that it actually flowed and meeting the different characters and hearing about their life. I liked that part, hearing about their life and then how they got, you know, turned or whatever. Again, it's vampires. I'm not giving spoilers or anything, but how they get turned and how it all weaves. And, you know, I'll stop because I'm going to give the story away.
No, you're fine. I think if you read A Dowry of Blood, you mm-hmm. will realize that you can do all of that with a whole lot less. And I think mm-hmm. that's what ruined it for me was there are really similar stories. They span all mm-hmm. this time and they there's other characters that come in and you see how their relationships go there, the kind of things they learn from them. Mm-hmm. I think the tagline on the Bury Our Bones is toxic sapphic vampires. And toxic mm-hmm. is important because they are.
Yes. But it was so good.
It was a good book. I think I gave it 3 or 3.5. It's not bad. But I'm telling you, I had this hyped up as like a 10-star read. And because I was just waiting. I'm waiting for Addie LaRue, too. And apparently mm-hmm. you got it. I just didn't have the same experience.
I loved it. It was great.
That's okay. Mine, we're going to go a little bit different here in a very different tone of vampire. And I love this book. I actually experienced it this year as well for the first time. Because it has a really creepy cover. Okay, it's like one of the gargoyles on top of like an old historic like New York City or Chicago. I believe it's in New York kind of building. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. And so you read about it. And essentially, Anne and Reed, they need a break. She had a complicated childbirth and it left her paralyzed. She can't walk. And she is, you know, they kind of get this, we're going to call it a break, where their relationship's having issues. There's a lot of resentment for the baby because obviously it took something from her. Reed is kind of not as supportive in which, like, you know, the struggles that she's going through. She is a audiobook narrator, which I thought was really cool. So she needs some different types of help. They move into this apartment and things just start happening. And you're starting to question whether this is just extreme postpartum or whether it's like, what is it, Munchausen, where she's actually injuring the baby. The baby starts to get like little needle-like things on its skin, like something's biting it. And she is convinced something is happening. And then there's really strange people in the building. And there's a lot of history about this building. And it's really mysterious. And it builds the tension. And it's obviously really tension-filled because you have a baby involved. I will say that while there is like danger involved, it's always, I won't recommend a 5-star read if like children die or anything like that. I don't, that's mm-hmm. not for me. That's a big trigger for me, but it definitely puts the child in peril, this whole story. So I can't explain why I loved it so much, but Nat Cassidy, I don't remember if I said the title, Nestlings by Nat Cassidy is the name of the book. Mm-hmm. And Nat writes really emotionally. You can tell they're passionate about the books that they write. Because there's always an aspect of his past or his story in there. A story written about his mom, and it's a horror story called Mary. His father, there's a When the Wolf Comes Home, or When the Wolf Comes Home, which I'll talk about here shortly. They're really deeply passionate stories, and I just loved everything about them. So there's this emotional aspect to the back end that really makes you enjoy these books. It is a vampire story, but it's unlike anything else I've read in the vampire space. So highly, highly, highly recommend. If you liked a book like Lock Every Door by Riley Sager, where it kind of is the same thing. She wins the lottery to be accepted into this really exclusive apartment building in New York. And then just things start acting real weird and people are real strange. And it's that kind of vibe. So if you liked that one, you are going to love this one.
It's definitely something about spooky season and spooky houses.
I think setting is half the thing. If you mm-hmm. are, you know, you could read anything. I could read Dr. Seuss. If I'm in a freaky house, it's going to freak me out. It's the setting. It's the chills. It's the vibes.
Uh-huh. It gives you that eeriness.
Like I say, I'll watch a scary movie. I do like to get scared. I do get scared. Mm-hmm. If I'm watching a scary movie, I'll mute it because without the sound, it can't scare me. Mm-hmm. There's that vibe, you know, that jump, and then the music plays and the bang, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And
it's all art.
Yeah.
It is definitely an art when you're doing like horror and things like that. Like it feels like, I guess it's okay to say like textbook-y kind of like. So like how to write a horror movie or how to write a horror book, you know, and it tells you when to cue the music and things like that and set the tone. I often read it.
That one's not for you.
Nope.
And it is a very different kind of vampire story, but it is truly in the vampire space. Because I was a lot of the way through this, and I'm like, then maybe this isn't actually a vampire story. It is, and it's very unique, and so I highly recommend it for this one.
Yeah, no, you got me at the needle, like I'm the baby and all that. You know, my heart is definitely with kids, and if there's anything with a kid, I just can't. I can't.
I love the vampire section. It's always, you know, it spans so much time and there's all these different settings. So vampires is fun, but I'm really looking forward to the next section.
Me too.
We've done ghosts. We've done vampires. Now we got to do witches. Am I going to get a weird witchy sound out of you, Ashley?
No. I wanted to so bad, but I was like trying to think of, I think witches is definitely my favorite category. Out of all the ones that we talked about today, definitely the witches.
In terms of actual monsters, obviously ghost stories are probably my favorite just because there's so many different ways you can do it. Possession and this, that, and the other. But I love witches. Witches are just powerful and dark and spooky.
And it's just Halloween. I mean, I have never even, I mean, like, there's always a witch on Halloween. You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just like the thing.
It's pumpkins and witches. Like those are the, and ghosts. Yeah. And those are the images of that you conjure for Halloween.
So it's only right that we make this pretty much like the way that we end it. We kind of like save the best for last. I'm still saying that witches are the best. So we save the best for last.
I think in terms of the books that I have on here, they are probably ones that stick with me as being some of the most impressive reads that I've had in years because they're very different types of things. I'm going to start off with one called Hex by Thomas Oldevold, and it's actually translated from Dutch. And he's a huge horror author in the Netherlands. And I seen this cover. I was walking through Barnes & Noble. This was 2020, 2021, something like that. This is probably, you need to look it up.
During the quarantine?
Yes. All the more scary. You need to look up this cover. I think it would actually freak you out. It is.
Then I'm not looking
this
it up.
Witch, and she's literally kind of floating, and she's got like tattered clothes on, chains are hanging, her hair's over her face. It's a creepy book cover. And so I picked it up, and I was like, what is this about? And it starts off with this premise: whoever's born here is doomed to stay till death. Whoever settles never leaves. So it's a town where if you go there and you spend the night, you can't leave. You can never leave. It literally won't let you. The curse put on this village, this town, by this witch is that. And so it starts off with this kind of almost comedic feel to it, where this town has just adapted. The government knows about it. They kind of implement all these different things where if people are coming into town, they try to make it look as normal as possible. But this witch can just appear anywhere. And so they try to make it look like we have this legend and we pay this lady to come around. But she's literally the witch floating around, chains, her mouth is sewn shut, her eyes are sewn shut. She's terrifying. And the kids play pranks and they do all these things. It starts off really kind of, I mean, it's got some spooky vibes, but like for the most part, it starts off kind of lighter, I'll say. And then the second half of this thing hits, and it takes such a dark turn. By the end of this novel, you are just like, oh my God. And you're just... And luckily, we get a second novel. We got a second book in this kind of series that is following basically like an FBI investigator that's investigating this whole town and blah blah blah, and it takes a really 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 dark turn in that one too, but the whole tone of that book is dark because it ended the last book in that. So if you liked like WandaVision, where it's all about a town and there's a curse and a spell on it and blah 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 blah, but you want it to be really dark, this is it for you. Hex by Thomas Oldevold.
This definitely doesn't feel like a WandaVision book.
It is no. Like, you can't, once you're in there, you can't leave.
I mean,
the show From.
I have not watched From yet. Watched the trailer.
Will not watch From because you will be scared the whole time.
I watched
the
trailer and I said, absolutely not. I was like, yeah, no.
I will say, Emily watches it with me, but she doesn't like the jump scares that come. But now it's more about the mystery and everything that's going on rather than the scares.
Well, see, that's what I like, a good thriller without the jump scares and the spooky. So I'm more of like, if it's a really good thriller, I'm in there. It's like a really good Lifetime movie, right? I just can't do it. No, you had me at the chains and the cover and all that. No.
It's something else. And the kids like really mess with her. And everybody thinks that they're like, you're going to incur the wrath. What if you accidentally, they say if like her stitches come free and she can speak, she can curse, she can use magic again. Or if she can see with her eyes, she can curse. So that's why they do that. But like, what if it starts to loosen? What if the kids are messing with her and they hit her with a basketball and it loosens a thread? They don't understand because you know how teens are, you know, they just do stupid stuff. Well, let me tell you, it gets crazy. I want to reread it. Like, I'm super excited because I really enjoyed the first novel. Second novel, not as much, but that first novel was crazy.
I don't know. We'll go my vibe next.
Yeah. Why don't you go with a lighter vibe?
Yes, absolutely. Much lighter vibe. We have A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. And it's actually kind of funny that we're talking about some of these books because I kid you not, all of the books that I'm talking about are pretty much next to me, like right now. So I could like be that person that's like, boom, boom. But I know you're going to have like your super, you know, cool things come up and things. So I don't have to. But I was like looking, I was like, I could pick the book up and tell everybody about it. But apparently I do have a thing for dark academia books. And I feel like it is, I think it's more than I thought previously, you know, with us having the special episode. Well, I didn't realize that A Discovery of Witches, I haven't read it yet, but I do own it. It is a dark academia book with forbidden magic. I thought that was really cool. It's got romance and high stakes and all the things. But it is about a witch who refuses her power, but discovers a long-lost manuscript that could change the world. Suddenly, every creature wants her secrets. A Discovery of Witches is forbidden magic, old libraries, we love libraries, and a love that could break every rule. I just was like, I really need to read this book. I didn't realize it was as big as it was. It also has several books. I feel like, I think we're on like book six. I don't know. But
I think they're
several.
Connected. Deborah Harkness has another series, and I think they're connected universe.
I know that there is a lot of them. It's the All Souls series, and I'm not going to be able to type fast enough for this to tell me how many is in there. But I do know that just by looking so far, I see that there is a quick three. No, there's a lot. There's a lot. There's a lot more than I thought.
Interesting. I mean, I watched the television show. I did not finish it. It was, in my opinion, poorly written for the TV show. And the actors really kind of dragged me down a little bit. The CGI and different stuff that was going on wasn't well done. So I kind of like lost my interest. And that, I think it ruined the book for me. But I'm going to let you be the guinea pig and read it. If you actually had a good time with it, I will pick it up because the premise is really interesting to me.
Now, I see something also very interesting. So although there are six books, I feel like maybe the series was possibly drawn out too much because I see a lot of hype for books 1, 2, and 3 and not as much for 4, 5, and 6. So I'm wondering if maybe like everyone's like, well, maybe, you know, it should have just maybe stuck to the trilogy.
It should have stayed a trilogy. That happens a lot where you have like a self-contained trilogy and then you're like, well, we'll write another trilogy, but it kind of is in the same. And then you're like, well, just say they're all the same. And then you're like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah. So there's six. There's definitely six books. I feel like the last one is not out yet. It's called The Falcon and the Rose. But this is the All Souls series. So if anybody is interested, there is a TV show, like Caleb said, there's a TV show out for it. And I, like I said, I want to read it. I see so much hype about it. It's obviously a book about witches and it's Halloween, it's spooky season. I probably won't get to it in October because, I mean, October is basically over. But
if you're
I
watching
will
this,
say,
you don't know if she made it or
it
not.
Is over.
It's the last day.
I will say that the audiobook is 24 hours. So that's definitely a longer book than I thought it was going to be. And I did not plan accordingly. So it might have to be, you know, a November book for me where I pick it up at the beginning of the month. But it is definitely one that I want to read before this year is over. Or it might just be like a summer type of thing. I don't know. I have it, but I'm going to read it.
Okay. I welcome you to read it. I want to see what you think, what your thoughts are. I do own the book. I can see it right there. We have the same edition. It's the same cover. Uh-huh. But I'm just not going to get to it anytime soon just because it's not uh-huh. top of mind. But
I'll probably stop after right. book three. You know, me and series, we have a really hard time. I don't know. It's
yeah,
just
for
something
sure. I
about
couldn't
me.
Do that.
I don't know. It's just something about me and series. I could read like one book and then like maybe months later, I decide to read like book two or something. I don't know. I just can't do it.
I agree. But this next book that I have, if it was a series, I don't think I'd struggle as much. It's one of my top horror books of all time, Slewfoot by Brahm. And it is a witchy book, but there's also a demon aspect to it all. It's got this, the format. Yes, you can listen to the audiobook, but you really need to get the, at least the ebook so you can see the pictures. Brahm is actually an artist and his name is Gerald Brahm, and he actually does really dark art where you've got like demons and angels and devils and witches and really, really dark imagery. And I think that's how it started. And he developed stories around these photos. And Slewfoot is puritanical horror where, you know, the Crucible or the Witch, those kind of novels and stories. Where, you know, there's women weren't necessarily respected for sure. They didn't have a place in society other than childbearing and kind of following the lead of their husband or whoever was in charge of them. They didn't have rights. And so she comes to this village with her newly married husband that she was arranged. It was an arranged marriage. So she didn't marry for love. Well, he quickly dies under very suspicious circumstances, to say the least. And she is trying to fight for her right to remain free as a widow. She doesn't want to remarry. She doesn't want to become a ward of a brother or an uncle or a cousin or anything like that. She wants to live on her home that she inherited from him through marriage on her own. Well, they don't like that. And so in her attempt to try and create a space for herself and freedom, she discovers a sleeping demon that named Slewfoot, and he's just waking up and he doesn't have a lot of memories either. And together they're kind of figuring out who they are. And it sounds really lighthearted, but then it starts to get kind of darker and darker and darker. And it's just a good commentary on like what it is to be a monster. Like, is it inherent? Is evil just evil? Or are people pushed to do evil things because the world is evil? You know, they keep pushing her down and she decides to push back. And it's a really good novel for people who like stories during puritanical times, which I love because witch trials, like the hex is set, that witch was actually from the 1600s. So it's just that kind of time with hysteria and everybody was being called a witch. Christianity was kind of going rampant across the world and there were no rules in this new world. So I enjoyed that one a lot, but the art really sets it in stone as one of my favorite books of all time. Fix your face.
I vote evil is all evil and all things are evil because evil is evil.
Nope. Because let me tell you, you're going to be rooting for this character, Abatha, by the end of it. Her and Slewfoot. You're like, you know what? Burn it down. Every one of these people sucks.
I have definitely heard about this book and I even know of the cover, I'm pretty sure. It's one book that I see a lot and it's talked about a lot. Will I pick it up? Nope. Yeah. But I will say that if that is your vibe, definitely pick it up because, I mean, this is not going to happen very often. But I agree with Caleb that I've heard all good things about it. Again, I won't pick it up, but I've heard great things.
The art is just so cool. And like the cover is her on a broom, but she has like goat hooves.
It's like the goat feet. Yeah. I know they're like hooves, but I wasn't sure. Like, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I remembered seeing this like everywhere and all of the things. So, yeah, now time to lighten it up a little bit. The next one we have, I have not read this book, but I fell in love with the cover of it. It is called Kiss and Spell by Celestine Martin. I'm probably saying that wrong.
No, I think you did a good job there.
Thank you. So this one is interesting just because I am learning my space in romance necessarily. And for me, it's usually not small town romance. That gives me Pumpkin Shop and Cinnamon Bun, which I did like. So I'm not sure if I like the small town, but this one, the summary definitely kind of pulled me in. It is a cozy and magical small town romance. Two things that I said before that I did not like. So I have to read this one. It is a witch without a spell. Her name is Ursula Carwell. She wished for a life that was happily ever after in her hometown. She was set to live her perfect life. Then a twist of fate occurs. Textbook romance kind of thing, right? So now she's selling crystals at the town shop. She's telling fortunes and reclaiming her missing magic. Ursula wishes to switch things up and decides to become friends with a cursed prince, searching for a kiss from the one. Ursula promised to help him find his true love, but somehow they begin to notice their mutual and inconvenient attraction. So it feels fairy tale-ish to me. It does. It feels like a fairy tale.
I'm pretty sure it's The Little Mermaid.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like it. It feels like The Little Mermaid. But it twists.
Ursula
being,
and the magic and the voice and the kiss.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a Little Mermaid retelling in a small town.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to pick it up, right? It sounds like it would be okay.
No, I don't have to pick it up. As much as you don't want to see goat hoof demons coming out of caves, I don't want to read any little bit of this at all.
I will say that the cover looked really awesome. And I love that it was Kiss and Spell. You know, Kiss and Spell, get
all
it, witches.
Romance books use puns, literary puns, and they are just, ugh.
I'm going to try it. I am going to give it a try. I did recently read some small town romance, and I kind of feel like I kind of like it, but I don't know. If it's rom-commy, absolutely not. Or Hallmark, no.
Oh, it's going to be Hallmark. The way this thing is written, it's going to be Hallmark all day.
I'm going to try it. I definitely want to listen to it just to see. Like, obviously, listen, I don't want to read it. I want to listen to it and see what it's about.
I'm all for you. After all the scares that I just instilled in people, you got to end with a Disney movie. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, and we might as well say that the next one that I'm going to mention is Wayward by Amelia Hart. You know, what is it called? Like, Shameless Plug, right? Is that what we say? Shameless Plug?
Yes.
It's our book club pick for October. It is a tale of witches that spans generations that weaves together the stories of three different women across five different centuries. You have Alpha in 1619, Violet in 1942, and Kate in present day. So I'm not going to go too far into the details, but I did want to put that in there that it is definitely a book that we are currently reading together right now. And I will say I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it more than I thought that I would enjoy it. And it's where I don't want to listen to the audio. I actually want to like sit and cozy myself in a corner somewhere and like open up the physical book or my Kindle and actually read it with my eyes. That says a lot. That says a lot.
For sure. I have to reread it, aka listen to it, this week so that I can be prepared for our discussion, which I'm pretty sure is November 2nd, which is next Sunday.
Yes. Next Sunday, we will be having our discussion on that, our live book talk.
Yep. So if you're on YouTube watching this, it's Friday. If you are checking this out, just be aware we're going to have, if you read the book or if you're part of the book club on Sunday, November 2nd, we are going to have our live discussion on that one. I'd love to have everybody there. Even if you're new to the space and you just want to see what we're all about, you can see these vibes, but we're unhinged on the live book talks because
it is so much
we
fun.
Don't hold back.
No,
so
we have
definitely
so much
pop
fun
on
our live. Definitely a we lot do. Of fun for the live. And I will also add, Mr. Mean Caleb here said that if you read the book or if you're a part of our book club, you don't have to do either of those. just come to have a good time. We will not get spoilery. We do not like to give all the spoils and things, or if we will, we must say like, hey, it's getting a little bit borderline here, but we will never give all the spoils. But we will tell you our honest opinion of the book, and you don't have to read it, and you don't have to be a part of a club. We do want you to be a part of our club. That's something that's easy to do, too.
Yeah, see, you're too kind. I'm like, either join the club or get out. No.
I want everybody in our club.
We do want everybody there. But, you know, a lot of people come in for specific books. This is the perfect mood for a witchy book in the fall time. So it wasn't the book we wanted, but it's the book we got. And I'm looking forward to talking about it because I did enjoy it the first time. I'm hoping that rating stands for me. Or it gets higher. Hopefully, I don't have a weaker response to it. I don't think it will. There's really not a lot of depth to the story for me to be like,
no.
I had a terrible experience the second time.
I will definitely say that I am enjoying it. It is a pleasant read for me. It's not giving me like the spooky vibes, but I do kind of like the fact that it's kind of got, you know, got some witchy stuff in it.
Yeah. Well, that finishes out that section, but, you know, we want to say there are plenty of other categories we could have talked about. We didn't talk about werewolves or cryptids or just generally spooky reads. So we are going to kind of briefly mention some honorable mentions of books that we wanted to talk about. We're not going to pitch them or anything like that, but just a couple titles that if you're looking for books in these categories, pick them up. And my first one is going to be really short and sweet. It's called Of Monsters and Mainframes by Barbara Trueblood. And it's a sci-fi horror book. It's got a sentient ship going through space, and there's vampires, and there's werewolves, and there's blobs, and there's alien fish people. And it's kind of funny. It's got like some lighthearted life lessons. It's a really fun little book. So if you're looking for something like that, pick that one up. What do you got?
I have one that I actually didn't get to mention earlier as well because we ran out of time. But you can't, again, I'm for the Halloween stuff, but The Secret Society of Irregular Witches. Everyone is just talking about these. I have not read any of them, but I keep seeing them everywhere. They're supposed to be like cozy mystery, maybe. I could be very wrong, but definitely something that I hear a lot of stuff about.
Yeah, Emily liked that one. Yeah, cozy fantasy for sure.
Mm-hmm.
One I mentioned briefly earlier was When the Wolf Comes Home by Nat Cassidy. Mm-hmm. And I have to recommend this one because if I got it, I picked it up immediately. It was non-stop action. It gets crazy. There's a lot of gore and body horror and blood and viscera and all the gross stuff. But it is, it's the most compulsively readable book I have ever had. I could not stop reading it, and I finished it all in one go.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't have a chance to talk about that one. I think everybody would have seen my face all screwed up.
They still see it.
Because you said all the things. The next one we have for me would be The Bride and Mate, because there's two books. It's by Allie Hazelwood, and it's giving me very Twilight vibes, but apparently she doesn't go for the vampire, she goes for the werewolf because she is a vampire, so I've been told.
Yeah.
I've never read it.
Emily has it. I bought it for Emily's birthday. She hasn't read it yet, but everybody seems to. If you're in that Omegaverse monster romance space, then yeah, it's all for you. It's not for me.
Yeah, no, not for me either.
And then the last couple of things that I have here are two books by people named Scott. The Chill is a cosmic horror book, and it's hard to pitch, but there's essentially a dam in upstate New York, I want to say it is, and there's definitely some evil presences, foreboding energy and everything around this, and it gets a little confusing, gets a little dark, but it's a really good read. And then the same thing for The Ruins by Scott Smith. You know, they stumble upon a ruin in the middle of the South American kind of forest, and people won't let them leave because it's a cursed land and there's something at the bottom of the pit. And it is crazy. It is such a crazy ride. Those books are, they don't have real monsters. They're just kind of like an evil presence. But for people looking for something like that, pick it up.
So I know we're wrapping this up, but you know how when you usually watch a scary movie, you have to watch something lighter or read something lighter afterwards? You know, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to put one last one and then we're going to be done because I don't want to have anybody like super scared and creeped out. Okay, Caleb. So
fair.
The last book that we have is The Autumn Leaf Bookshop by, I don't remember her name. I know it begins with K, but I want to say it's K Michaels, I believe. This book was awesome. It is like a urban, modern day Halloween town romance. I loved it. I was very surprised reading it because it's not something that I would normally grab, but the color just screamed fall to me. I did not know what I was walking into. So for our lighter reads, definitely cozy romance fiction. I mean, not fiction, fantasy read. Definitely awesome, full of magic and a really good love story with some spice.
Just a little, right? Nothing crazy?
Nothing crazy. It was where it was actually a part of the plot. So it had some spice to it, but it was not smut because I will never recommend smut. But it was definitely, it was spicy. It was good. It was a feel-good read and I definitely enjoyed it. So I thought it was perfect to close out our episode because I don't want anyone having nightmares and being terrified to come back because Caleb scared the crap out of them.
If they came to this episode at all, it's to be scared. It's Halloween, and I want you to go read all of these creepy books and scare yourself. This is the time to do it. And then you can turn the calendar page tomorrow, and you can live in your bubble. But the world is scary, so you might as well get used to it.
And that's why we recommended all these books, because, I mean, hey, reading just fits the cure sometimes.
It does. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our episode. Ran long again, but, I mean, I really couldn't stop myself with a lot of these. And I could have put... No. Hundreds
this
of books
awesome.
On these lists. I could put out so much content. So
it's getting
I hope
harder
you guys
to pick
picked
some
up some
of
new
these
ones.
Books. It's getting harder it to is. Pick some of these books on here. It absolutely is. But I really enjoy doing this and I'm learning so much about myself just in what I like to read and what I don't like to read. And it is an awesome adventure. And I'm glad that, you know, our subscribers and friends and family and come along with us as we're like discovering this about ourselves as well.
Absolutely. So this is episode 5. We got a few more in store before the end of the year. And then we're going to go into the new year with something fun, fresh and exciting. So we're going to end it here and we're going to sign off and we're going to say
happy reading.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Have a good night.
Night.